on WCLV, IdeaStream Public Media. The July shows opening at the Ohio Light Opera are The Merry Widow, The Yeoman of the Guard, and The Red Mill. And here to talk about it is the Ohio Light Opera Artistic Director Stephen Daigle. He will be leaving the Ohio Light Opera at the end of this season and coming on board as Artistic Director, but who has been a member of the company for many years, is Jacob Allen. Stephen, you're directing The Merry Widow and The Yeoman of the Guard. So we'll ask you about The Merry Widow, which is the most popular operetta ever, yes?
Yes.
And this is an operetta that Ohio Light Opera has produced itself many times over. It's also the only piece on our season this year that is not originally in English and required translation. Doc Stewart, who founded the company, had done an adaptation and translation that the company has used for its previous productions. But Steve Daigle has taken that and made a new adaptation and translation for use this season, which I know will be a continuation of Doc Stewart's legacy and also Steve's after he leaves the company at the end of this season.
When you put together a new translation, what kind of deconstruction of the script do you have to do?
You have to get the original Reggie book, to look at the libretto and have a literal translation. And that's pretty easy to do now because of all of AI. I mean, you can get a majority of it done. And there's other sources for that. For me, what was interesting about this piece is that it's always taken on this three-act work that, and not to go too far into it, but the third act is supposedly ends at Maxime's, which is this famous club. But in the original, it's not at Maxime's. It's at Hannah's villa, and she recreates Maxime's at the villa to entice the lead to come to it. So there's a difference that I wanted to go back to. I mean, one of the reasons I did it too is a practical one. It allows us not to have to do a full another location in a very complicated season. But I always looked at the work the last few times I directed it and said, you know, it'd be fun to kind of bring it back to its original form, make it a little bit more in control of, you know, the lead character's ability to manipulate Donnie Lowe, who is a former lover. They're rekindled because of a certain series of events.
Do either of you have an idea how that meandered the way it did?
To the difference? Yeah, it was the London production. They moved it pretty quickly from its original to a very popular London production that in its own right almost had as much success as the premiere of it. And that was the change. And they, of course, the London productions, they tried usually they changed the locations. Like this became, the fictional town of Pontevedro was moved to like a Balkan-like environment in London. And so they just switched it at that point. And it sort of took on its own life as the third act being set in Maxime's.
That's The Merry Widow by Franz Lehár. That opens July 1st. Stephen, you're also directing The Yeoman of the Guard from 1888. That opens on July 16th. And my understanding is you have a little bit of sentiment about directing this year.
Yeah, I do. I bring that all the way back to being able to watch the founder of the company, James Stewart. This company was, Ohio Light Opera, was built on Gilbert and Sullivan. It was an original Gilbert and Sullivan company. And James Stewart did a lot of the patter roles in all the Gilbert and Sullivan productions. And one of the first productions I got to see working at the very beginning before I was artistic director was watching James Stewart play Jack Point, which is the lead character. And I've always enjoyed the operettas that have a more sentimental quality to them or have a more pathos. I enjoy, of course, the comedy and all the wit that's in, especially in the Gilbert and Sullivan works. But this one is a little more tragic. It centers around someone who's been sentenced to death. And this will be my third production directing, and it's going to be the last one as artistic director, which holds a special place for me. We're bringing someone back that's was a veteran, Ted Christopher, who's from Cleveland area, to do Jack Point. I think Gilbert and Sullivan believe this to be their very best work they had ever created, and that says something, that the two of them actually agreed on a work that they both enjoyed.
Duly noted.
Yes. So there's a lot of reasons for me specifically that I'm looking forward to directing the show, but also for, I think, our audiences that want to have the best of every possible type of style, of operetta. It presents a level of humor that you'd expect in Gilbert and Sullivan. It presents a level of operatic singing that's maybe a little bit different than some of the other Gilbert and Sullivan works. So I hope that people will come and see the production.
Before we get to the final show in the Ohiolite Opera series, Jacob Allen, there are lots of extras this year, including the July 4th concert, which you've had for years and years and years. Where does that take place?
That takes place in downtown Worcester on the square. And it is one of the best ways to celebrate the 4th of July. It's our gift to the Worcester community that supports us throughout each of our seasons and one of our ways of giving back to that fabulous community.
Also, there are more pre-show talks this year. Can you explain how that's going to work?
Certainly. An hour before curtain on selected performances, we have somebody involved in the production, often Steve or myself, that gives a roughly 30-minute presentation, often includes information about the history of the production, some goodies to look for in our production thereof, and always concludes with a little bit of an overview of the entire season in case people are intrigued about coming back. We've done this for many years on weekend evening performances only, and it's been tremendously popular with our patrons, so we wanted to expand that offering out into the many matinees that we offer over the course of the summer.
One thing about the Friedlander Theater at the College of Worcester that I've always loved as a patron is that if you are trying to get to your seat and a lot of people are seated on the outside, you don't have to stand up if you're seated to allow that person to pass. That's extra room that is matchless.
Yeah, continental seating at its best.
I don't know how many patrons mention it, but I'm mentioning it now because for those of you who are not familiar with the Ohiolite Opera season, there's no center aisle, and so you go in from one end or the other. But if you're already seated, you don't have to stand up. That is worth a lot.
I was in New York a couple of weeks ago to see four or five shows, and I can tell you that our theater is more comfortable than any of the Broadway houses.
The final show in the series, it opens July 23rd, and that is Victor Herbert's The Red Mill, which comes from more or less the same period as The Merry Widow. But Jacob, the director is neither you nor Stephen, and it's Spencer Reese, but I understand he's a veteran.
He is a veteran of the company and has been our choreographer working on all six of our productions for quite some time now. So the Red Mill, this is a piece that kind of lives at a place that kind of helps to bridge the connection between music theater and operetta. It has significant vaudeville influences to it, so it's a piece that embraced at the time America's infatuation with varietal type entertainment, and I think it was very good of Steve to consider Spencer to direct this production because I think his ability as a movement specialist is going to bring something special to it.
Well, Stephen, I also understand that you did some historical reconstruction of this show at one time.
And Red Mill has two or three different versions. It had a very successful recital. It had a very successful revival in the 1930s. And some of the versions that are out there are from that 1930s revival. But we've gone back to the original script. And of course, you know, looking at the importance of Merry Widow, the composer is very important, Victor Herbert, for taking that European operetta and giving it its own American identity. And this actually, Red Mill is at the early part of his career. He had many more titles after it, Naughty Marietta being one, that were popular after it. So this was kind of the beginning. This put him on the map in a way. And of course, Victor Herbert has a lot more than just operetta influence in our sort of musical culture, because he was a very closely associated, and I think maybe president at one time, or maybe the creator of ASCAP. So he had an association with, a very important association with promoting composers, American composers, and given it sort of a legitimacy in the United States.
And then he also had his tenure with the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Yes.
Which kind of put him in the general concert life of that city, and he was known throughout the country for that.